CKNW, your station to turn to in an emergency, is helping BC prepare for an emergency. Now, here's your host, Bill Good.
Talking about emergency preparedness this week, disaster preparedness, and today we're focused on the potential for terrorism. Gordon Redmond is in studio with me. He is with Emergency Management Planning Group. That's his company. He has a Bachelor of Science in Emergency Administration and Disaster Planning. Brian Hay, Chair of the Advisory Board of the McKenzie Institute, and Wesley Wark, Professor of International Relations, Monk Center for International Studies at the University of Ontario. Professor Wark, clearly a lot has been done to try to make it harder for terrorists to take over airplanes. But we have no way of knowing if an airplane would be a next target. How much planning can we do? How prepared can we expect to be for the unknown?
Well, I think what you have to hope for is that you'll have advance warning. I mean, this is the best hope that you don't have to simply respond to a terrorist attack after it's happened, or you don't have to try and interdict it when it's on, underway. But that you'll have advance warning and be able to prevent it. That really is a job for intelligence services, and I think there's been a fairly remarkable transformation in the. In the role that intelligence services have been playing in Canada since September 11th. Prior to September 11th, they've been around for a long time, of course, in terms of our history. But prior to September 11th, I think they generally weren't very much in the public limelight, or perhaps not even in the political limelight so much, didn't get the kind of political attention and perhaps resources that they needed before September 11th came along. And I think they've been on a path of growth and capacity building since September 11th, some of them, like the Communication Security Establishment, have essentially a new counterterrorism mandate. So we've been busy, I think, in the last 5 years trying to build up our intelligence capacity and tune it to the threats posed by terrorism. It perhaps is the case that capacity hasn't really been tested in those 5 years, but the hope has to be that we're certainly in a better position, or hope we're in a better position now than we were prior to September 11th, to both be able to monitor the activity of terrorist groups and individuals in Canada, and to be able to plug our intelligence services into a kind of global network of both traditional and new allies who might have information useful to us to defend Canadian security interests. So, again, we're operating in a kind of area of the unknown, Bill, where we can't say for certain that our intelligence services are really up to the job. All we can say is that they've been undergoing a fairly vast transformation since September 11th, and all we can say beyond that is that I think there's now a recognition, certainly in political circles in Ottawa, and I think to a certain extent among the public, that what you need, even what a country like Canada needs, is a very first-rate intelligence service to be able to provide that kind of information about both domestic and international threats.
Brian, hey, it occurred to me as we were speaking that 9/11 was a major wake-up call for everybody around the world, but it's a sad comment that, in actual fact, Air India wasn't a bigger wake-up call for us in this country, and I don't think it was really until after 9/11 that we started to recognize that for what it was, a terrorist act and a huge one.
Well, I think you're right, Bill. I think Canada has always felt that somehow we are beyond the reach of these folks, that Canada is somehow isolated, that we're really good and decent people, and all the folks that come here are just, the best representatives of the human race that's possible, and that somehow we're exempt from it. We do attract a wonderful cross-section of people from around the world, but we also bring with that group people who have their own agendas. One of the publications of our own institute is a piece called Other People's Wars, and we catalog, indeed, a number of different organizations that are on Canada's soil that, in fact, are funding, are planning, are equipping, and providing personnel, as the professor suggested, to struggles and to guerrilla forces, to anti-regime forces, whether they're democratic or non-democratic, in other countries. And in fact, we are an incubator in some respects of that, and a supporter of it. And we've had those events now occur on our own soil. But I'd like to go back to something that your guest said in the studio, and that is their personal preparation. One of the things that worries me is sort of the polarity. Some people who just, oh, well, it'll never happen here, and we know it has, and we know it could, and versus those that are, you know, wound around the axle a little bit too much and getting too anxious about it. I think what Mr. Redmond has said is absolutely critical, that the preparation for any number of types of disasters, whether it's a bad windstorm, a hurricane, a twister like they had in Edmonton, or the proverbial earthquake that's going to put Abbotsford on lakefront and so forth, or oceanfront property, personal preparation, having a plan, having reasonable degree of contingency, reasonable degree of supplies, adequate stocks of water, and that sort of thing, are very, very sound for any number of reasons. Interestingly enough, a number of governments have passed at the provincial level legislation that, in fact, require the citizens to be prepared. In fact, identify citizens as the first line of defense when an incident occurs, whether it's terrorism or otherwise. And the only problem I have with that is it probably hasn't been very well communicated to the public, and we haven't been educated very much in that regard. And with the kinds of weather problems, and please, no jokes about the military removing snow in Toronto, but the kinds of weather problems
that
we've been having across the board, it's good to be prepared. And your point, I guess it was, one of the commentators' points about power, those of us like the professor and I who were in Toronto, experienced the power outage in August of 2003, and we know what it's like to be without power for 24, 48, and in some cases 96 hours, right through the entire system. And it was earth-shattering to those people who weren't prepared, and those of us who were prepared got it through very nicely. The one thing about it that I also have to salute is the human spirit. It was amazing to see the number of people who simply volunteered to help get traffic through intersections and so forth, and how reasonable people responded to it and were respectful of this amateur standing in the middle of an intersection and stopping traffic and starting traffic and so forth. If we can approach, whether it's a terrorist incident or a bad weather incident or a power outage, with that kind of cooperation and indeed anticipation with some preparation, we're going to be a lot better off than if we sit here and just gnash our teeth about it.
I think very well said. I want to get to at least one call before we break for the news headlines, and then we'll come back with lots more. And I encourage people to call with their questions, thoughts, comments, 604-280-9898. Michael, hello.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to make a couple of quick comments about what the gentleman said, but I have 2 points after that. I contend Canada has still not waked up, probably never will wake up. Witness the other day, there was a guy with a handgun on the airplane, and they let him out on bail. We don't have an army base in B.C., thanks to Chrétien and his Liberals. Now, my first point. If we do have something that happens, not just a little attack on a minor, you know, like a bus blown up in Vernon or a tiny little earthquake, real societal collapse. The only guy who had enough sense yesterday in your discussion that said anything that we need bullets, you left-wing Liberal guys, you crapped all over him, that saying that it was only gangsters in Katrina evening up scores on the cops. Even if that were true, one still needs a gun when the cops are all gone. And there was not more violence against civilians because they are armed.
Well, that was not some left-wing media commentator. That was an emergency preparedness worker, a disaster relief worker, who was the only one on this program who was on the ground in New Orleans and saw firsthand what was going on, including the violence. But we will come back with more of your calls, questions, or comments right after the news headline, 604-280-9898. You're with Bill Good on the Chorus Radio Network.